Now, why we should visit the Lord's Supper again? Simply because I want to dwell on the word covenant.
On the word covenant.
I think Mr. Walter is right by saying, where did we stop last time?
Last note I had was, with open heart, open mind, say, I love you, and a small kiss. So Lord knows what we were talking about. Christ was revealed in the incarnation, the death, resurrection, the glory, and the stuff of the Spirit. I can't read this guy's handwriting.
Okay.
You know him well. I know.
Well, you know, we have been together for about 25 years, you know. Isn't that right, Bob?
At least.
And I really beg you, and I really mean begging you, I don't hesitate to use this word when it comes to ministry, to sit down quietly, get a New Testament with you and a marker, and color the word covenant in the letter to the Hebrews. You can do that. Americans are the best people when it comes to highlighting, right? Yeah. I think in Britain we learned that from you. So, why is this so? Simply because the covenant is the most misunderstood topic among many Christians. Misunderstood possibly because we don't talk about it. Misunderstood because possibly we don't actually notice the difference between the two covenants. The one that has managed to overview the entire Old Testament. The Old Testament means covenant also. And the one that has came with Christ and changed everything. So, I'm going to go through an excursion in the rest of the Hebrews and end with the Lord's Supper. Is that all right? So, please follow the scriptures with me.
Wait, Hebrews,
say? Yes, Hebrews. I think, you know, just let me ask you a leading question. I'm sorry for my wicked nature.
You've got an Arabic Bible there, don't you?
Oh, it's because it has all my notes in Greek and in other languages.
Now, notice, this was when May's mother, you can tell he's looks like he's in the front of the book. Arabic's backwards.
No, it's you are backwards, not me.
Well, we are backwards.
Well,
no.
Backwards in the sense of the writing.
Yeah, so Hebrews is in the front of that book.
You see, when we... Bob Walter.
No.
Look, when you write, your hands move this way. From right to left. But you Europeans, and you know, we move from left to right against the movement of the hand.
Really? Is that a rule? Is that an old rule?
It's my rule. Okay.
Hebrews what?
Yes. My wicked question is this. Have you ever associated in your mind, and please forgive me if I say something out of lack of knowledge, have you ever connected the covenant with the priesthood of Jesus? Yes or no? Yeah, the new covenant with the priesthood of Jesus. Are they really one topic or are they two topics? This is why I want to go through Hebrews. Because you see, to renew the Christian awareness that the high priest, Jesus Christ, is the high priest of a new covenant. And that the priesthood of Jesus is the new covenant. We are not talking about a covenant as a mental concept in the head. Look, there is a great difference between, I read a book about USA when I was in secondary school.
When I went to secondary school.
In Egypt. All the great things, obviously. But imagining the USA is something from the book. Oh, we saw movies in the American Culture Center in Cairo. First time I saw American football, I kept saying, why is this two fighting over a ball? And catching each other's legs. it didn't make sense. But never mind. But this is not the same as coming here in 1973. Because coming here in 1973 made all the difference. Well, I told you the story. I was met by a lady from the National Council of Churches, and after a long journey from Cairo, she said to me, are you hungry, Mr. Bibao? I said, yes. Would you like to have a hot dog? This is the only food we have here at the airport. So I said, I never heard this name before, a hot dog. You eat dogs here, of course, silent to myself. So as you went, I ate the bread and I threw the meat. Because I couldn't understand what is a hot dog. Simply because, it is to have a mental idea in your head is something, and to experience, to be in relationship with a reality is something else. Is that clear to you? So, I need a good American leader. I lost Pam. Sadly, the only night I needed her badly, she disappears. Anne, can you read? Anne, can you read?
Yeah.
Good American leader?
Oh. He'll get you up there again.
Yeah. What are we reading?
We're reading Hebrews chapter 6.
You really do got to get a load of this Bible before you leave. Hebrews 6.
Verse 13 onwards.
13 onwards.
Slowly, please. We are not in a Bible study. We are here doing an excursion. Okay.
When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath.
Stop. Did you get it? That there was unbroken promise confirmed by what? By an oath. Now, when God takes an oath, it means it cannot be broken. By who? By God, obviously. Even if people break it. That is what is missing from our understanding. Because the children of Abraham broke the covenant several times. Don't forget that. But God remained faithful to the covenant. Right? Okay.
18. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Excellent. You see? Now he says, you know, there are two things God cannot lie, cannot even change. The promise and the oath. And he said, if this has happened under the old covenant, let us see how these two actually still remain the two pillars of the new covenant. So, in chapter 7, he starts to unfold the teaching from verse 11 to verse 17. But you see, he ends his teaching by saying, Christ is our high priest. Now you have to say, why the high priest comes into this two things that cannot be broken, cannot be changed, the oath and the promise? Well, it will come in 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. You have to be a Semite to understand Hebrews. And don't eat hot dogs, you know? So, you know, you just have to be a Semite. Because this is the way the Semite writes. Okay. If there was a... Please, 11. Why, you want to come here?
From 11.
Yes. 11 to 17.
In chapter 7. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law.
Stop. Hey, are you awake?
Yes.
I don't think so. did you catch the sharp test of verse 13? If you change the priesthood, you change
the law.
Really?
We didn't get to 13.
Really? If you change the law, you change the priesthood. If you change the priesthood, you change the law. So what do you think is the change of the law here? I really want to... You know, when you have a wet towel and you squeeze it, I really want to squeeze you tonight about the law. But, you know, since it is cold, you know, I will wait till it gets hot. I want to squeeze you. You change the priesthood. Christ is a priesthood who came by a promise.
Not
by the law. It's coming in a minute or in a second, depends on the speed of Mr. Walter. But, you know, but in here is, you change the priesthood, you change the law. Because the priesthood has been inaugurated in order to bring reconciliation between God and humanity through sacrificial systems.
To bring reconciliation through God and humanity.
Through sacrificial systems. Do you want me to read because you are writing?
No, we're good.
Are you sure? Okay.
We're fine.
So, once you change the law, you change the priesthood. Once you change the priesthood, then you have to bring a priesthood that cannot bring a divine human communion
according
to the old practice. And you have to say to yourself, why? Oh, because the priest, the new priest, has a different quality.
Different
he and the sacrifice are one. So everything has to go. Therefore, please, sir, 13.
He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
You see? Now once you say he is a priest forever, you have established the eternity of the covenant. Yeah. And the eternity of the priesthood. It's coming later on. So don't panic. Just walk slowly, you know? Walk slowly with me.
The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God.
You see, the law cannot bring you near to God. Can't. You know why? You know why the law cannot bring you close to God? There's something simple.
It forces us to think about ourselves.
Because if you don't keep it, you will be trespassing. It carries with it always the element of condemnation.
I love these things.
Put marks in your Bible, huh?
Yeah, they're very.
That's a good pious practice. You know, once you have a law and you break it, it brings condemnation. Once there is condemnation, there is guilt. Whenever there is guilt, well, there is no solution. And you know, we Christians still think in a legalistic way, we carry all our sins, legally speaking, and come to God and say, please forgive me, but He already has forgiven us. I am a sinner, but He knows that. I am a bad guy, but He loves a bad guy. But the law doesn't say there is a room for loving a sinner. Never ever forget this. There is no room for loving a sinner in the law. The law, for goodness sake, what does the federal law do to you if you trespass? It says you have committed a crime, a felony, or what's the other word a felony, what's the other word?
Misdemeanor.
And they say, oh, well, never mind. We love those who commit misdemeanor.
Misdemeanors.
Or a felony. You know? Oh, a special chapter in the American Constitution for loving those who trespass the federal law. Really? You know, maybe something else to chip off heads or electric chair if it's still in existence. But you know, the law is the law. I mean, please, brothers, there is a 180-degree swing simply because the first one for infancy didn't work. It didn't reveal anything about God and humanity. And it was necessary because that was the dark night of paganism. That has to come to an end by the revelation of divine love. Yes, it was necessary. What do you think Israel was living among the other nations like Assyria and Egyptians and the Hittites and, oh, name them. They were brute, you know, and they have to be also brute to survive. Don't forget that. You know, you read all these horrible stories in the Old Testament and say, oh, is that a divine book? Yes, it is. simply because it is a survival of a people who must carry a hope for the whole human race. Don't you sometimes, I don't think you do that in America here, you just take your car to a car dealer and he would, within 5 minutes or so, computerized, you know, it's finished. But in Britain, you know, you have to go and put your overall and get under the car and get all the dirt and you know, you get all dirty because you're mending your car. This is precisely the whole thing that God was mending humanity, and there's a lot of dirt in the Old Testament because of the character of the nations around Israel. It's dirty. You know, read Deuteronomy, read Leviticus. There are a lot of horrible practices about food, about diet, about marriage, about this, about that. Well, of course, it's being done boundaries to separate these people. But after separating them, they copied the other nations. They were not really in any sense better than the other nations. But anyway,
and it was...
No. Verse 18, sorry, brothers. Verse 18, what is it, NIV? What translation is that?
NIV.
Yeah. NIV. What have you got?
New King James.
What does verse 18 say?
For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness.
I love you, brother. Because that is faithful to the Greek. Say it again, out loud.
For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness.
Yes. You know, all the commandments of the former teaching, you know,
are annulled. Obsolete.
And that is in the Old Testament itself, not just in Hebrews. Would you go back to Jeremiah 31:31? Thank you, sir. You're great. That NIV gets on my nerve, you know.
Mine too. 31:31.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
Says. The time is coming, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31:31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts.
Oh, you see? The new covenant will be written and the new command will be written on the heart. It's no longer written on a
tablet.
It's written here. And just let me jog your memory, because Christians don't know that the day of Pentecost in the time of our Lord was the day of the celebration of giving the Torah. So when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it is the new Torah.
The new law.
The new law.
So say that again. The Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost.
On the Pentecost, okay. The day after, 10 days after the ascension of our Lord. Because in Israel, in the ancient calendar of Israel, it is the day on which the Israelis celebrated the coming, the giving of the Torah, the five books of Moses. So the Holy Spirit comes on that day to say that He is the new Torah, the law that will be written on the heart. You know, please, friends, please wake up. Wake up to the greatness of the gospel. And spit out legalism. Yeah. I was going to another harsh word, but my wife will not give me supper if I say it. but you can tell, you can imagine what sort of word I have in mind. You know, just get it out of your system. So, wait a minute, young man, back to Hebrews. Sorry, Bob. That irritates my nerve. Out loud, please.
Starting in 19.
Yes.
So the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope.
Who?
Draw near to God.
See, the law did not bring anything perfect. Okay.
And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek."
Wait a minute. The priesthood of Levi and Aaron was not actually given by an oath. Did you notice that? That's not George Beard's discovery. It is Hebrews saying that. But the priesthood of Jesus came with an oath. Now, think for a second. Now, why this makes the priesthood of Jesus greater?
Forever.
Well, how did the priesthood of Levi come?
Oh, just called them to serve him and that's it. There's no oath.
Right.
When God divided the land, he did not give a portion of the land to the tribe of Levi because they should serve the tent of meeting. No. That's it. And, you know, by genealogy, a priest, his son will become a priest, and Levi, his son will become a Levi, and so forth. There was no oath.
So it's just an assignment.
An assignment. That's a good word. Thank you, sir. Excellent. Genealogy. You know, it goes on. But the priesthood of Christ is given by... Can you sense the gravity of that teaching? I like to sleep, but my spine will not help me. Oh. And dance. You know why? Why I like to dance? So quiet. You make me nervous. You know why this is so great? He has been made a high priest for you and for me with an oath. That my salvation through the high priest is resting on a divine oath.
Amen.
A divine oath that cannot be
broken
or changed.
Amen.
In other words, you know, God will not say, "Well, I'm sorry, you have sinned after I sent my son. It is all over for you." No, it doesn't. Yes, Cindy, is that a question?
Well, kind of a comment. Well, it was exciting to me because I think that this is, Jesus is a priest that is alive and won't die, therefore nothing changes. We don't have to,
you don't have to fear
that, like what you said.
Can you dance?
Yeah.
But
her
you
eyes
know,
are dancing, I think.
But you know, Cindy, you're so polite, like a nice American gentle lady, you know. Be wild a little bit. What did she say? I didn't hear.
Well, she's not blushing, that's for sure. You don't really know her. She's a wild and crazy girl when you get to know her.
You know, Cindy? When you talk about Jesus is risen, his resurrection confirms his priesthood at the end of the letter to the Hebrews. You know, because my memory fails me, and I know this book by heart, my friend Philemon insisted I should learn it by heart. Look, and I put all my notes around it so I can't forget. Mr. Walter, let's hear the NIV. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20.
May the God of peace...
Slowly, please.
Hebrews 13, 20.
Yes.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from our dead, from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will.
You see, the blood of the eternal covenant.
Yes.
But you see, the resurrection of Christ made his sacrifice for you and for me an eternal act that goes back to his priesthood, to his sacrifice, confirmed by something that cannot be altered or changed, the divine oath. Is that new to you? Yes? Did I say something you never heard before? Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay, fine. I'm glad. All right. Verse 24 of chapter 7.
Verse 24, chapter 7. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself.
Mm-hmm.
For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Fantastic.
Amen.
You see? Yeah, how long? Yes, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. You see, all these high priests used to offer sacrifices year after year for themselves and for the people. Because this is the law. On the Day of the Atonement, the high priest in ancient Israel offered a sacrifice for himself and for the people. But Christ offered one sacrifice.
He offered himself.
And then he has a priesthood that cannot actually... Young man, I need to hear 24 from King James.
But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood.
Unchangeable priesthood. Cannot actually be altered. Even after his ascension, he's still a high priest. And that is why in the next line he says, he is alive in order to intercede for us. Okay? And because of that, he is a son that has been appointed by an oath. I would like to spend 2-3 hours on that without exaggeration. But since you told me just 5 minutes ago, you have heard it before, no need for it.
No, I think you should do it.
Can I expand? How could I say no to you, Debbie? How can I, you know?
What are we expanding on?
Okay. You see, here you have the Son. Not from genealogy. Christ became a priest because of the quality of his life. He did not receive it by being born from a tribe that had inherited priesthood. But he had the quality of priesthood in him. And believe it or not, this is a call to all of us to come to that priesthood in us, in you and me. You don't need a priest to ordain you a priest. You need a priest to recognize you as a priest. Ordination is the recognition of the gift of priesthood in you.
Ordination is the recognition of the priesthood in you.
So, the word of oath appointed him high priest, but he is also a son, the privilege of the son. Later on, I hope to finish Hebrews tonight. I really do. If I don't finish Hebrews tonight, I will not even eat my supper, not even breakfast for me.
I guess there's not much chance of finishing 1 Corinthians tonight either.
No. We'll finish the priesthood and the covenant. You know, because you see, I'm honestly really worried about the fact that we need to absorb and drink, you know? Drink. You know what I mean by drinking? drinking the full wine of the gospel and get drunk on it simply because it is refreshing. It doesn't make us go crazy. It brings joy and life into our life. You know? So here we have the oath and the sonship and the priesthood. Yes?
I think it'd take us on a tangent. I'll ask this question another time.
Oh. Are you afraid of me?
No. Scary. Well, the way Bob worded, it's, I don't have the same, I've got the KJV, but it said that man come unto God through Christ. What about those who choose not to?
Oh, that is another road.
I know, that's why I said, I'll ask it a different time.
You see, I wish you had been in our house this morning. Ask Yvonne. She's smiling.
That's for another day.
No. It takes a minute. In the New Testament, there are three melodies. You know a melody?
Three melodies.
One, a universal melody for everybody. Second melody, the melody of the incarnate Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Revelation of Christ. Third melody is Christ and the believers. And the three mingle together. And we had a gentleman who's a musician and told us how to sing three melodies. I don't know, there's something about, what was it called?
Row, row, row your boat.
It's probably round.
We did the round.
Yeah.
We all, of course, knew it.
You know? What is happening? No, please take that fear out of your heart simply because we like to take the third melody, that's Christ and the believers, and shoot through the second and the third. Sorry, you have to hear the three together. The universal work of the Redeemer for all, the revelation of the Redeemer, God incarnate in Jesus Christ, and then the special melody for the believers. And they all have the same key. There are a lot, we have two musicians who told us technical vocabulary in music, which is in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, in Paul, everywhere. But you know, we need to look carefully at the three melodies together. What will happen to us? Don't believe in Christ. My goodness, I am really the happiest man in the world if I can't answer the question. You know why?
I can't answer the question.
Simply because I need to sit on the throne of judgment and to say, you white Presbyterian American former Catholic.
Not Presbyterian.
Got you down.
You let me down and you left the Holy Mother, the church, the Catholic, you know?
Yeah, I heard that.
I'm not joking. Yes, when we were in Florida, we got an email from a mother that is petrified about her son leaving the Catholic Church and coming here. Oh, yes. And I had to answer the email by saying, lady, calm down. East 91st Christian Church never, ever said it is a substitute for Christ. It is the Catholic Church that made the church substitute for Jesus. Oh, yes. And when they come here, they still Christians. Come and join us. I got an answer reply, by the way. Come and join us and hear our hymn and our prayers. We still believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He is our Redeemer and Savior. We don't pray for Mary at all because we like to keep her in your church. Because, you know, we like to pray to Christ because we love Christ. We are crazy about Him. You know, simply because you see, you were a Catholic. You know, there's a good joke that Christ was touring heaven with St. Peter. And St. Peter realized that there are a lot of non-Catholics in heaven. And he said, according to my book, these characters are not here. And Christ said, I'll come and show you. So he took him and found that Christ made a big hole in the wall and he's sneaking people through the wall. You know, I really love the first melody, the universal declaration of salvation of all the human race. And I love the second melody, the God incarnate who come to save us. And the third melody, Christ dealing with me as a sinner. And I listen to the three together. Sometimes I separate them, but I go back to the first, second, third. And you know, by doing that, I keep to myself the whole melody is not to judge. Because you see, my knowledge of anyone is limited to what I know. Okay? I see you here on Wednesday. What do I know about you? Only this mysterious smile. You know? What do I know about anyone? So how can I say, I actually never liked this woman, get her out of the kingdom. Really? While God knows the heart, and you know, there is something said by Jesus himself, it frightens me. They come from east and west and recline in the bosom of Abraham, and the children of the kingdom will be cast out. That frightens me. So I better stay in the boundary of the kingdom and not to get out by saying to Christ, I really like your seat of judgment. Give it to me and I really let people get in. Or cast out people. This doesn't bother me at all. Chapter 8.
Verse 1, the point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven.
Wait a minute. Really? Where is the high priest now?
At the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven.
This is exactly a Jewish way of saying he is God. Assuming the exact divine powers of the Father. Okay? Let's skip that because of time. Verse 6. Verse 6.
But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. For if there had been...
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Can you slow down a little bit? You're too fast for me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry.
You can read it in English. You can believe this thing he's looking at.
No, slowly, please. But now... Yes?
Where's the...
Six.
Oh, six. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. Huh? And
so slow down.
Founded.
You know, it is superior. Right?
To the old one.
Science is more excellent.
Oh, more excellent is a better translation. What have you got, young man?
Better.
No.
What's more excellent? Which translation?
Mine?
KJV.
English standard.
More excellent, you know? Now, friends, can you ever compare a bike with a Rolls-Royce car? Which one you prefer to take? To go to work on a cold day when it was 6 degrees here. So why you take the old covenant and stick to it? It's gone, it has gone. You are now something more excellent. Why? Because the one who has put it into action is the one who sits at the throne of God. Even the intercession of Jesus, it is done by the one who is on the throne. My goodness. And then, you know, verse 7. You know, very strange. What does verse 7 say, Mr. Walter? Slowly, please.
For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another.
Another translation?
For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second.
Oh, I see. No, there was a fault in the first one. You know what is the fault of the first one? Count.
The people. Says.
The people can break it. It is based on rituals. It is temporary.
Slow down.
He's getting at me now.
What was the second one? And I'm serious. What was the second one?
Based on rituals.
You know, bodily rituals. You have to wash. If you do any defilement, you have to wash. You are unclean to the evening. Okay. You have to offer sacrifices. And there's a list of what you have to do. And then it is temporary. Mm-hmm. It has no promise at all of being in communion with God. I mean, look, friends. If you offer an animal to God, do you really expect that this will bring communion with God?
What? To bring forgiveness from God?
Yes. Yes. Forgiveness means let go of your sins, yes. But communion between you and the person of God? No. Right. And then, verse 13 of the same chapter.
By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete.
Ooh.
And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear.
It's a dinosaur.
That's your cat. Nothing left but the grin.
Vanish.
Now, I want to hear the whole verse. By saying it is new.
In speaking of the new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Hey, that's better. S close to Greek. Any translation, Debbie? The same. What have you got here?
Very similar.
Very similar. Any more translation? Different emphasis. Now, did you get the sense of it? Something that grows old means simply is not eternal. Something that grows old is certainly not eternal. You know, when it is not eternal, it is bound to
disappear.
You know, it becomes obsolete. I don't know how strong is the word obsolete in English.
Pretty strong.
Yeah. You know, very strong, is it?
Probably not as strong as vanish, because it just means it's like you know, they're still around.
It is unusable. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, God forbid, that this will happen to you? You're being in a car accident, and then comes the people, I don't know what you call these, the police?
Yeah, the police or the...
Whatever, I look at your car and say, sorry, sir, this car is obsolete. Gone.
Totaled.
toast? I never heard this word before.
Toast, you're toast.
You know, finished. My wife had a car accident. She had a nice... It was a nice car. She had a girl hit her, you know. And then the insurance, because, you know, gone. And we went and I still have a picture on my cell phone. that good car. My goodness. And then we said, can we get the tires? The tires were quite new. No. You can't get anything. It's gone. Now, if there is something goes under the old covenant, don't you dare to bring it to the new. Don't you dare. Something that's obsolete, and I'm going to give you some examples of the obsolete just to annoy you.
That's what I was going to ask you, is bring it to the...
Bring it to the fore, okay? One of the great mistakes, my dear brothers and sisters, and I really say it out of love. If you get angry with me, I'll be the happiest man in the world. You know why? Because I reached your nerve. And I want you to think. One of the things that you have to remember is that God does not store sins at all.
God does not store sins.
Doesn't write them, and doesn't keep a broken promise in a book. Doesn't look at your broken promise and say, don't you remember in the evangelistic rally, you came forward and put your hand and said, I accepted my son as savior, and now you retreated, you such and such and such. This is not the language of God. God always in standing to clean us completely.
Interceding for us.
Because he intercedes. That is the priesthood of Jesus, is to clean up daily. Mm-hmm. Number two.
Not true.
Yes.
Not store sins is number one.
Yes, you put your hand up.
Keep going.
Okay. Number two. If you really think in a Jewish way that you keep all your promises, God will smile on you. You know what you have done? Yes. You went back to the Old Testament.
Yes.
No, God will keep the promises whether you keep your promises or not. Because it is by a promise and by an oath. Everything stands by Christ. By a son, Jesus. He keeps what he said. Whether you like it or not, he keeps it for you. This is horrible. But it's a fact. You know, he keeps that for you. And number three, if you think that it's your faith, F-A-I-T-H, because I have a problem with the TH. I don't eat burgers like you. You know, if you think your faith will save you, you become a Jew without knowing.
You have to explain that.
Because it's not your faith that will save you. It is Christ will save you. Your faith cannot become a substitute for Jesus. Oh, there is a lot about faith in the New Testament, yes. But listen carefully. Christ is the river, is the spring. Your faith is the container that takes from the river. But your container did not create the river. The river is always flowing. Your faith is how you go forward and take. And lastly, it's not because of your faith, it is because of grace. It's not because you believe Christ will say, oh yeah, I like him, I give him something. No. It's because you are a bad creature, God will give you his grace. Now, don't bring the old covenant into the new. Don't, please. Yes.
And I also wanted you to explain that we don't, it's not by doing certain things. I mean, that is the law where we say you have to get up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray for an hour. You have to read the scripture. I mean, it's like we do these things, but we don't do them as a law. I mean, if we, you know what I'm talking about, George, mm-hmm. you can explain that.
You know, there is a difference between a self-discipline that you impose on yourself in order to walk with the Lord daily. But you know, don't put all your money on that bad horse. I am not joking. I am dead serious. You know, I was trained in the monastic tradition. You know what does this mean?
No.
3 o'clock in the morning, midnight, prayer. 6 o'clock, Eucharistic service. 9 o'clock, the daily office. 12 o'clock, the daily office.
Prayers, if you're not.
You know, it's hours. You call it the hours. 5 o'clock, the daily office. You know, and all that, and you know, at the end, you know, I became like a dry leaf.
Like a dry heave.
Leaf, you know. A dry heart, what did he say?
Heave.
No.
I think dry heave is better.
Never mind.
I was right at that side.
That's okay. That's the holy mistake. So thank you. And you know. And then I went to my friend Philemon, who never attends any of the things. He's a hermit. He sits in his cell. He locks himself in and doesn't appear even in the communion service. You have to recite 12 psalms for every hour. And I said to him, you know, why don't you come to the church services? And he said, you know, Brother George, church service has been created by human beings. This is the law of man. And I said, it's the law of the church. He said, yes. But it is human beings who created all this arrangement. It's supposed to be a discipline, an inner discipline, and I don't need it. I said, so, how do you discipline yourself? And he said, by loving myself less and loving Christ more. And I said, without reciting the Psalms, actually, if you count all the Psalms that being recited daily, it will come about 95 psalms per day. And I said, by not reciting the psalms. And he said, you know, Brother George, why should I recite the psalms to love Jesus? One psalm per day is enough for me. Two may be too much. Three is just about right.
Sometimes one verse.
You know, one is enough. Two is good. Three is just about right. What is bothering you? I said, I have been following that self-discipline and I'm dry, really dry. I'm dead. And he said, I'm glad that you discover that you are dead, because some people don't think they are dead. They love it and they go through it and it becomes part of their personality, and you dare to touch it, they will leap at you like wolves and eat you. And you know why our monks are short-tempered people? I said, because of the lack of marriage. I said, no, it's not the marriage, George. It is because they live in their head, reciting psalms and prayers all the time. They don't love their enemies because they don't see who's in front of them. It's always, you know, there's a machine going inside their heads. And, you know, we walked together. I don't know. The Lord saved me by meeting this man who just said to me, Brother George, just love the Lord Jesus. Love him by doing things for him. Love the Lord Jesus by being kind to people. Love the Lord Jesus by remembering your sins less and remembering grace more. Whenever you remember all of your sins, say to the Lord, thank you for I have sinned, because that qualifies me to enter the kingdom of God, qualifies me for grace. Grace is for sinners. But if you go through this machinery of the church, you will become a pagan without knowing. Don't! I said, but what I'm supposed to say to the abbot when I miss the church services? I said, don't say anything, just don't go. Just don't go. What shall I say? Say nothing. Tell him the truth. tell him the truth. They will throw you out. And that will be again to Christ and again to yourself. But you know, here it is. A self-discipline is not a security for you. And when your self-discipline becomes like a crown on your head. A crown on your head. And you think, now I am a king. And then you sin and you see your crown in the mud. You are absolutely broken. But if your crown is Christ, and all of you in the mud, Christ will come and take you out and wash you.
Amen.
That's different. You know,
my crown is Christ.
My crown is Christ. My hope is in Jesus only. Yes. Not in me. Oh, if you think that, this is Judaism, if you really think that your knowledge of the law will save you, you are a Jew.
Yes.
But if you think that your knowledge leads you to love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. And therefore, my dear friends, I'm really begging you. The old has gone. Mm-hmm. Now, we celebrate that new covenant at the Lord's Supper. I have 5 minutes to unpack this. I want to go back to Corinthians, otherwise, you know, I think we have done a good test of Hebrews, and I really wanted to do the letter. Sit down and do it in one go, from chapter 1 to chapter 13, all the way. And just with a marker, you know, highlight the word covenant, obsolete, so forth. This is the blood of my new covenant. And whoever is there, please don't bring church jargon here. Sacrament, mystery, you know. No. Someone bring a chalice or this, you know, all this vocabulary irritates me. It's bread and wine given to you. Right? And it is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for you. Remember 4 things for the covenant that we celebrate at the Lord's Supper. Please. Number 1, it's an invitation from Christ Himself. Take and drink, this is my blood for the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. It's for you. It's an invitation of something that is constantly with you and eternal. We just read about the eternal blood of the blood of the eternal covenant in Hebrews chapter 13. You remember? Okay. And number 2, it tells you, quite frankly, for the forgiveness of sins. So whether you are ready or not ready, forget about it and just receive the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Friends, I say it without any hesitation. There is no power can stop us from sinning except the love of God. You take a decision, you take an oath, you do whatever, this is fine. But sooner or later, it lacks the power of the risen Lord. You need a mighty power to pull you out. And the mighty power is not your decision. The mighty power is the power of Christ. It stays with you. And if you are weak, He is your strength. If you are hesitant, He brings the courage to you. So the covenant here is just saying to you, here it is. I don't care what sort of state you are, take and receive my love. Because I really, truly love you. Receive the cup. My senior minister in Egypt used to kiss the cup after communion. Because he regarded that cup as a kiss of love from Christ. you are afraid that someone will think that you are odd or funky here in East 91st, don't do it. Do you know? It is that sense of receiving in love. Number four.
Rose number three.
Number 10. Debbie, which number is that? Okay, I try. Debbie looks has integrity.
Oh, suddenly she's the only one in the room who knows math.
Because I made notes.
Number three, when you receive the bread and the wine, is about being nourished. Stop thinking about is it body, is it blood, all this rubbish of church history, forget it. It's food for your nourishment. And you know, for your nourishment, take and eat, take and drink, because it gives you life. Who is giving?
Christ.
Not a human being, but Christ himself. Mm. Number four, thank you, Debbie. Number four, it is you are celebrating with Christ his victory.
You are celebrating with Christ his victory.
When Paul says, you do this, remembering his death till he comes. Well, his death is a victory. And when you celebrate the victory of Jesus, he will say, I want you to be in my, what's the word in Colossians? You know, we call it arcade. When the president is moving and a lot of cars behind him.
Morcade,
but it's not that's new.
Parade.
Thank you. In the parade of triumph, which in the old Rome, the general will take his army behind him, all the captives, and all the things they win from the other nations, and parade in the streets of Rome. And you have seen that in Colossians chapter 2.
Mm.
Is that what is referenced in Ephesians 4
too? Yes, and in Colossians 2 also. Verse 15. 2:15, what does it say? What does it say?
Go ahead.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Yeah, in the cross, you know. Take them as captives, you know, and show his greatness and his victory. And you know, if you are broken, Christ is not broken.
Amen.
It's your guilt that makes you feel broken. And one day when it gets hot, we'll talk about guilt. We will talk about guilt. Next Wednesday, the Lord is willing. I got a lot of heat from Florida. Thanks to God. You know, you can see even a little bit of brown here on my knees. I sat in the sun. I really became a hard-boiled egg. You know, I really love Florida. But you know, we will continue going back to chapter 6. Right, sir?
Yeah, is that... Good. Yes, we had it. Yes.
Any questions? Any questions? We have 2 minutes for questions. Yes, sir?
So, talking about the Old Covenant and the fact that that law doesn't apply to us today, is that right to say it that way?
Yes.
Okay, so then when Jesus says... I think I understand the part about I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. But then he says, not the least of, or, you know, not a tittle or whatever will pass from the law. It says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I think that, first of all, I'd like to know how you explain that, but then... That's probably where we start to get this whole idea that we still have to follow all those laws, even though...
But can you read that verse out loud clearly, sir?
Where is it?
is in Matthew.
Matthew 5:19.
Read two verses before.
Okay. So 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
So the one who breaks the law is not outside the kingdom. He is the
least.
The least.
He's the what?
The least.
He's the least. Actually, he is the younger. The one who's less glory, actually. But you know, the one who keeps them is the...
Well, great.
Great.
But isn't he still instructing us to keep them?
No. Slow down. You're too young. You know, when someone is younger than me and he leaps out of me, are you expecting me to catch you? I can't. Listen carefully. Matthew is a very delicate lady. You have to treat Matthew with fantastic, you know, delicate lady?
With velvet gloves.
Oh, yes. Oh. He says, you know, don't think that I come to abolish the law. Means to say that it is
no good.
It is no good. But listen carefully. What Christians missed is a word in the verse. I can't fulfill the law and the
prophets.
The prophets.
Prophets. Now, why did Jesus add the prophets?
Because the prophets talk about Jesus.
Because the prophets said the law will go. And there will be a new law.
Oh, yeah.
And the fulfillment of the law is to reach its goal, is communion with God. Not keeping you in the cage of the ritual.
Christ is the fulfillment.
You see, you touch a woman, you have to wash. You fart, you have to wash. That is Judaism, you know?
It's a Hebrew word.
Sorry, that is Judaism, you know? That's true. That's absolutely true. Ask a Jew.
Before you pray,
horrible things. But you see, he said, you know, now I have to tell you, fulfillment is a word misunderstood. It means it reached its goal. That actually all this did not make you free. You know, you had a man here in America. I don't know if it's true or called Houdini.
Houdini.
You know, whether it's a troop or one of the Hollywood guys, I don't know. Houdini used to be put into chain straight jacket and things and submerged in waters and then... You know, the law is just like, you know, all these chains and things, but there's no Houdini to come out of it. I was watching, I love Western movies. And there was a prophet among one of the native Indians, you know, American Indians. And he said, you know, we will dance and beat the drums. And all these blue coats, the earth will open and swallow them. But it didn't happen. The American army came and just massacred them. You know, the rituals is what the law can do to you. It's just like all this fantasy. Wash your hand. I greet Debbie. Oh, I became dirty. You know, I can't even pray. You know?
Because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman.
Focus on this fulfillment thing, because that's, I think, the core of it.
Now, the goal of the fulfillment of the law is to reach the goal. The goal is a revelation of God who comes to clean sinners. Now, if you break that and teach something contrary to the law, you'll become least. Why? Because you missed the fulfillment. But if you teach all of it, then you know that I am the fulfillment of the law. I really beg you to go on what's that? Shane Fuller.
At the dwelling place
on the internet.
It's a Podbean. You have to go on
Podbean.
And listen to something called The King's Speech.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Please, I really beg you. If there is someone in this USA, great country of yours, you know, I love it. And I thank God for it day and night. If there is a man who really put his hand on that Sermon on the Mount, it's Shane Fuller. And he has a little tiny church in the
Broad Ripples,
you know, and he is there. Listen to him. Brother, read that again. Yeah. Again, slowly.
Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Yeah, what does it mean to fulfill? Why Jesus brought that, you know, to fulfill the law? To show its goal. And you know, when Christ was asked about the law, how did he actually rephrase the law? Do you remember?
It was said that way.
No, he actually said the whole law is in two commandments. Love God and love
your neighbor
as yourself. Okay? And if you do that, then you have fulfilled the law. You reach the goal of the law. I come to show you the love of God and the love of yourself and the love of your neighbor. That's fulfillment of the law.
The goal, the end of it.
You know, there is, English is a very tricky language, like Arabic, like Hebrew. But you know, the more we misuse words, the more we are stuck with a lot of unclean information that creates confusion. Okay, you ladies smiling, listen in prayer. Now she'll ask me, what is your name?
Naomi.
Why I hear Jewish names tonight?
Because we're talking about the law.
It's Naomi.
It's a pretty name. Naomi,
you are wonderful.
Because my name is wonderful.
Because you are beautiful like your father.
Father, we come to you, praising you and thanking you for the lives in here and the desire to seek out the truth that is in your word, to grasp the concepts. Father, we want to understand the covenant that you are and that you give us. Father, we worship you and thank you that your word will not be broken. Your covenant, your oath will not be broken. We thank you for your redemption, for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're not on the email list, the monthly fellowship at George and May's house is this Friday night. If-